welcome to Minute 118 of The Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into The Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me again today on this lovely Wednesday is Mark Hoffmeyer from Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, and Movies, Films, and Flicks. Welcome back, Mark.
I'm recording this episode from inside of a hole I dug in my backyard.
Wait, you haven't stuck your head out of the hole yet?
No, haven't done it yet. Not even thinking about it. I'm hanging out with my possum that comes by all the time. We hang out. We're playing some Uno.
Wait, do you know how close you are to the trees?
Oh, I was like 30 feet short. Okay. And I have a 10-foot rope that can get to it. It's been a weird day.
Yes, it has. But again, if it's a magic rope, then you're good.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a magic rope. And people can tell the truth.
Or maybe you just have, like, flute that you can play, and the rope will just grow.
Whoa.
You know, like in Octopussy. James Bond. That was one of the things Q was showing him in Q Station in India.
That's a pull.
Do you remember that?
No, I don't even remember. I do not remember that at all.
Ooh.
I do not. I was thinking mice would be following me.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Anchorman, I think, has some good flute playing, right? Is it?
If you say so, I'm not a fan of Anchorman. I saw both of them, I think, once or maybe twice, and that was it. Yeah, not my kind of humor. But
you should watch the sequel. I worked on it when they did the big fight in New York. I was in charge of the taxi cabs driving around.
Yeah, but you weren't in the fight, were you?
No, but the taxi cabs. You can see me briefly in the background walking away.
Oh, okay. I look for Goon yeah. Mark.
Yeah, Goon Mark, not looking.
Exactly. All right. Well, Minute 118 starts with Colin continuing his journey on the Trolley Express and goes all the way until we see Danny reaching the mouth of the trapdoor. We continue. Yesterday, we already saw at least two prisoners escape, one with a hat already on his head and one miraculously getting a hat as he popped out of the hole in the ground. And so now we see that Colin and Henley are on their way. So they put Colin on the trolley, moved him along to the next station for him to get around. Now, I always find it really interesting the way that they signal everyone that they should be moving along. You know, this double tap that they do.
Yeah.
Because I always wonder, what is the distance between each of these stations? You know, is it supposed to be that there's like 50 feet between each station or whatever it is? Are they feeling the vibrations, or are they just listening to the tap tap? What do you think?
I mean, 30 feet, because they dug out 30 feet. You could hear 30 feet, you could hear a tap-tap.
Yeah, but how would you know which side the tap-tap's coming from? Because, you know, each of these stations has two trolleys, basically, one going in each direction. So if you're tapping on this side, you know, will they know that you're to the right of them or to the left of them? Because these trolleys are moving back and forth each way.
Interesting.
You know, it reminds me of like Stand By Me, where you know, you have, you know, Gordy keeps stopping and, you know, putting his hand on the train trestle to see when they're crossing the bridge. I remember when I first saw that came out, I kept wondering what is he doing. I didn't realize took a few times seeing the movie to understand that he's waiting for the vibrations. Mm-hmm. You know, I kept thinking he was looking to see if it's hot, because if it's hot, that means that the train went by recently. But obviously, it's the opposite effect that we should be looking for. You know, is something.
I mean, I like your theory. It probably feeling the vibration, but it's interesting that that's what you thought about. I thought about the movie Cabin in the Woods, where the stoner guy.
I haven't seen that yet, so don't spoil it.
Oh,
for me.
Well, there's a good trowel gag.
It's on my list.
There's a good trowel gag in it, so I won't give it away. But there's some good garden tool usage in it. So then I started thinking about garden tools in cinema.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And that led me to think about the movie Peter Rabbit, which has some pretty good holes in it.
Yes, but...
From that's a good movie. Have you seen Peter Rabbit?
Yes.
It's funny. There's a subplot about breaking ribs.
Did the sequel come out already? The sequel did come out, didn't it?
Next month. It was supposed to come out last year. Now it's coming out. Right. Very excited. We recorded a 2-hour episode for it. And a trailer talk. So I've done like 3 hours of coverage on it on Movies, Films, and Flicks.
Well, I think I've seen it. Now I have to think back. Once again, did I see Peter Rabbit? Or am I confusing that with something else?
Or Hop?
I don't think I saw Hop.
Mm.
I don't know. I'll have to check. Okay, but I can understand why that would have a lot of holes in it. Not just in the plot, but, you know. So then,
Do you think Donald Gleason, if they remade this, Donald Gleason, he'd be good in this movie, in one of these films?
As what?
As which character? Attenborough.
No.
He'd be Bartlett.
No.
You don't think so?
No. You see, I have a lot of trouble trying to recast any of these characters because they're almost all perfect. So Chris Pine. Try to think about someone instead of one of them. No, Chris Pine. See, I love Chris Pine. I really do. I love Chris Pine. I think he's a great Captain Kirk. There's no question about it. But anytime I see him in anything else, I can't stop thinking of him as Captain Kirk. You know, he's in Wonder Woman. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, Wonder Woman is having an affair with Captain Kirk. He's Jack Ryan. And I'm thinking, okay, they're training Captain Kirk to be a spy for the U.S. You know, that for me, he has embodied, you know, I mean, he's not William Shatner, but he's able to play William Shatner really well as, you know, as his younger self.
Okay.
So I have a lot of trouble putting him in another film.
They get caught they go back in time. They get caught in World War II, get put in a POW camp, and then the cast of Star Trek 2009 has to escape.
Okay, obviously Chris Pine at that point is Bartlett.
Because then he's Kirk.
Yes, of course. very good.
What do you think? Star Trek, The Great Escape.
There you go. Get working I'd on watch that it. Script. I'd definitely watch it.
I wrote it.
Get working on that script. You wrote it. Great.
Yeah.
So now you just have to
All the dialogue is the same. All the dialogue's the same. I just changed the names.
To protect the innocent.
It's all the same. All
right, hey, if it works. You know, you got Scotty as Cavendish.
Ooh. Yeah. And Ives.
No. Ives is a treble.
Yeah. Oh, man. Imagine having nose in your POW camp. They would just overrun you.
I don't think they need to have to worry about getting out.
Yeah. Do you think gremlins were responsible for any of these pilots' planes crashing and being captured?
Of course.
Yeah.
Why is that even a question? All right, so
this minute.
Yeah, so basically, you know, Cullen goes down to the trolley, and then we get to see the next group of prisoners at the next station waiting to go. And you have, once again, we have Haynes and Nemo waiting to move along. I mean, it's nice the fact that they show the way that the whole system works. You know, they don't need to. But they still are able to show us that, okay, they now know that the next group went, so now they're going to go also. I think filmmakers today wouldn't waste their time and waste the audience's time watching a different group of soldiers, you know, prisoners going through. But this gives us more continuity of the whole thing. You see everything flowing. It's moving. You know, it's not cutting and you know, showing other types of scenes. It's very fluid. The way that's showing everything going.
I mean, I think that's what the best filmmakers do. Yes. I think you need to have, sometimes you don't have that, but sometimes it's really excellent to have an understanding of your surroundings because you know each step of the line, and that way you're more familiar if there's any mess ups.
Exactly.
So when you're familiar with A to Z and something gets messed up in G, you know everything before and after it. So you like, you know, Die Hard, right? I keep going back to that.
Of course.
But you know the locations. You know that there's already an abandoned floor. You know the offices. You have a basic understanding of the structure of the building, and you're able to follow along with
Completely.
It. And I think that's another wise thing. I mean, that's another example of why the director's so great, because first and foremost, what we already talked about how Sturgis was a editor beforehand. So by giving us every step of the way, like you said, remember when we were talking about they introduce a new character? Oh, well, are they going yet? Well, they're almost going. So I think you just have all, I love it. I think spending that extra time, and you're right. I mean, would they do that nowadays? Probably not.
Most directors wouldn't do it. I mean, a perfect example of what you just mentioned about with Die Hard and stuff like that is also Titanic. I was amazed the first time that I saw Titanic, the fact that, you know, they give us the pretty goofy, you know, CGI computer version from 1997 of how the ship went down. But they tell you it within the first 20 minutes of the movie, and then it's stuck in your head. And then later on, when when these things are all happening, you can visualize it much easier, because they've planted that seed in your head. You know, talking about planting seeds within and movies and stuff like that is this is, I mean, what Sturgis did here is something that, that Nolan does also. And I think that also could be one of the reasons why Nolan and Sturgis, their films are very long. Because they want to, and the, most of their films are long, but they're still fascinating to watch. Because there's always something going on. Whether it's in the foreground or the background or whatever it is. But something is constantly going on. And these are the type of movies that you do need to sit and spend a lot of time trying to go through, like we're doing here, because you pick up on so many interesting things, not just the flukes, you know, the hat and the rope and stuff like that, but you pick up on the way that the story is being told, of how detailed everything is. I mean, in a few seconds, I'm going to mention something else that's really detailed here. But first we're going to talk about Danny and Willie. So as we talked about last week, you know, Danny, you know, isn't able to continue going through the tunnel. He goes through his whole claustrophobia. Oh, which, again, in the original script, none of this is there. Okay, there's the point that he does leave, but they don't go into real detail as to why he's so claustrophobic and everything like that. And, you know, he's standing there trying to get a little bit of air from the window that's been completely shut up. And then most of this minute is a monologue by Willie, sorry. Trying to convince Danny to go. And he says, they're moving through the tunnel now. They're going to get out. They're all going to get out. When Warsaw fell, you escaped and came to England because you were a flyer. You came because you wanted to fly with us and fight the Germans. We can get out now. We can get back to England. If you don't go through that tunnel, everything we've done for now will have been for nothing. Nothing. That's all he says. Now, in the original script, they condensed that to three short little lines. Okay? Danny says, don't wait for me. And Willie says, if you don't come with me, I won't leave. Then you'll have stopped my escape. And that's what convinces him in the original script. Now, obviously, this is much better. It's more convincing to have John Leighton say this to Charles Bronson. And then they have these great music cues right after he says that to him. That's sort of like a guilt trip music, somber music guilt trip type of thing. And then you see that, that he, at this point, Danny looks at the window, which again is pretty strange because there probably is no air coming through that window the way that it's sealed shut, because they need to make sure that there's no light getting out also. Because if there's light getting out, then, one of the guards, even if it's not Goon Mark, is going to be able to pay attention to the fact that there's a little bit of light coming out of this barracks. So he looks there, he grabs a hold of something, making it look as if he's closing the window, but he never really opened it. And then he goes and cuts in line and stands right next to Sedgwick, and he's getting ready to go back into the tunnel.
Yes. Great pep talk. Yeah, wonderful pep talk.
You know, that's basically what this entire minute is, this pep talk, which, as I stated, isn't even in the original script. So the question will always remain, who decided to add that to it? You know, was it something that one of the actors decided to add it? Is it something that Sturgis said, you know, we need something deeper here in order to convince everyone that he really is going to be, he's going to be convinced by what's being said? So my first question to you, Mark, is, can you think of any other movies? I've thought of three, okay, that predominantly show Polish soldiers or pilots that are fighting for the RAF, that are fighting for the British. I can think of three.
Polish soldiers fighting for the RAF.
Well, in two of them, they're pilots, and in one of them, it's a general. So he's not fighting for the RAF. He's fighting with Montgomery. Here, I'll give you a little bit of hint as to whether you can try and figure that one out.
Okay, so that's Air Force. Flyboys is World War One. That doesn't work.
Then there are all World War II. All three of them are World War
II. Yeah. Battle of Britain.
Nope.
Battle of Britain.
It is possible that Battle of Britain has that, but that's not the ones I'm thinking of.
The Longest Day?
Also no, because D-Day there were I don't think there were any Polish fighters in D-Day. I could be wrong. Again, that's not those were not the ones I was thinking of, but it is possible. They're both very good choices that you've said, but they're not what I was thinking of.
Bridge on the River Kwai. Are there any Polish prisoners in there, or is that all soldiers? Okay.
No, but again, it's never mentioned that there's any Polish prisoners there.
Man, I see a bunch in my head, but I can't articulate them right now. This is worrying me. Okay, all right, let me know. What are they?
Two of them are basically one is a remake of the other. Okay, they're both comedies. One is from 1942, and one's from 1983. If that helps a little bit.
Wings? Memphis Belle?
No, Memphis Belle was 1990. Wings was 1983. Come on.
And it's a this is how I use deduction, but it'll go way past the 20 minutes. All right, so 1983.
All right, I'll give you another hint. Comedy. Comedy.
Remake. 1983. Comedy. Comedy remake. It's not Hot Shots.
No, Hot Shots was 1991. Go ahead. Keep going.
This took place in the Gulf War, too. 1983 comedy pilots. I'm lost. I don't have it.
Okay, it takes place in Poland, in Warsaw.
It takes in Warsaw.
1983.
Dr. Zhivago.
Oh, come on, Mark. Dr. Zhivago was 1965. Come on.
I don't, it's not there. It's not there. It's blocked out. I can't.
Okay, let me see. Should I give you the main actor or just two of the? All right. It has George Gaines, George Weiner, Christopher Lloyd, Jose Ferrer, Charles Durning, Tim Matheson plays the Polish character, Lieutenant Andrzej Sobinski.
Tim Matheson, 1983 comedy. I said 1941.
1941 was in 1979. And it doesn't take place in Poland.
Okay, 83. Airplane?
Airplane's 1980. Doesn't take place in Poland.
80. I don't have it. I'm just throwing out. I'm throwing out nothing. Oh gosh, Mel Brooks directed?
Both directed and starred. Sorry, he didn't direct it. He just starred. It was directed by Alan Johnson. Excuse me. But it's a Mel Brooks movie with Anne Bancroft.
Anne Bancroft.
To be or
I don't,
not
I don't,
to be.
I don't have it. Oh! You know what's crazy? I have the Mel Brooks box set. That's the one with the plays, correct? Where they... Oh, I've watched that one. I have it. I was thinking that's the Chairs one. I haven't watched 12 Chairs. Yes, is that the one, Mel Brooks? That's the only one I haven't watched on that box set. But now it's all coming back to me. But I just remember the Playhouse. I don't remember.
So they're any in RAF they're or... in Warsaw, and Mel Brooks believes that his wife is having an affair with a Polish flyer who's there to help try to help. The other trying to help them all get out of Warsaw because the Nazis have shown up. And that's played by Tim Matheson. He plays the character. Now, this is a remake of the Jack Benny film from 1942, which was also called To Be or Not to Be, where Robert Stack played the Polish character, Lieutenant Stanislav Sobinski. And
my apologies, everyone, for having to listen to me throw out stupid movies. I'm always good for a go. I have that. My wife got me that box set on Blu-ray, and I watched that movie exactly once, and all I remember is the Playhouse. And
if you
get a chance,
watch it again, just to see if you...
And the poster.
So if you get a chance, try to see it again, and if you can see the original, see that also, because they're both hilarious and just amazingly done. The third movie that I was thinking of was A Bridge Too Far.
Oh, Bridge! I saw the poster in my head.
Hackman plays the Polish general who's helping the Polish paratroopers, that are fighting with the Royal Air Force, Navy, Marines, whatever it is.
You know, one time I owned a double pack DVD. I think with that and the Battle of Britain. I think it was a double pack.
Makes sense.
And I think I had those, but I don't have any more. And I never watched them. I bought it for like $5, never watched them.
All right.
Exciting story.
All right. I didn't think The Battle of Britain was that great a movie anyway. Bridge Too Far is amazing. So I think you should, if you get a chance. That's also another 3-hour movie, but it was also directed by Richard Attenborough. Another connection to this movie. I actually, in preparation for this, for today's show, watched two more movies about the Polish fighters in the RAF.
Nice.
Neither one was spectacular, and they're both made at the exact same time, and they're pretty much the exact same story. One of them is called 303 Squadron, and the other one's called Mission of Honor, but it's also known as Hurricane. They're both from 2018. They're all about the Polish fighters, Polish Air Force pilots that joined up with the RAF during the Battle of Britain. So, whatever, it was interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and the one thing I learned from the movie is that the Squadron 303 had the highest scoring fighter squad in the entire Battle of Britain. There were 145 wow. Polish pilots, and they shot down at least 203 German fighters.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I found that to be fascinating. Yeah, so there isn't that much more to talk about this minute. I was going to give you a top five, but since you haven't seen any of those movies, it's not really going to do much good.
Yeah, I'm sorry about
that.
Yeah,
that's all right.
My knowledge of Polish World War II movies, fighters in that, is not too strong, but that gives me something to work on.
These aren't Polish World War II movies. These are, some of these are mainstream.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Three out of five are mainstream films, but that's
got it.
That's all right. So you have anything else for this minute, Mark?
No, I mean, I love the talk. I love the pep talk. I love that it never veered into... I think it was probably one of the best. It was the best pep talk up until Deep Blue Sea 2, when Aaron gives a pep talk to Dr. Kim. That's when Aaron says, like, we got to survive for Leslie, to Aaron. I think Aaron's speech to Daniel Kim in Deep Blue Sea 2 is a little bit better than this one.
I understand what you're saying here. You know, I think Danny and Willie are a much better pair. than Aaron and Dr. Kim. Sorry. Sorry about that. I'm going to have to disagree with you on that, even though I know you're an expert on Deep Blue Sea 1, 2, 3, and hopefully 4 when it eventually comes out. Shark Week 2022. I know.
Yeah! See, That's a great scoop.
You see, I've been paying attention. I actually listened to your show.
I appreciate it. No, that was a fun interview. They had some fun on that.
Yeah, definitely. So anyone who's listening to this now, you can go back about 9 or 10 months and listen to that interview that Mark and Jay did, Deep Blue Sea, the podcast.
We talked to the director and
John
Stahl.
Poe.
Yeah. And Tanya Raymond.
There you go.
The star. Talking about Evian filling up water tanks and underwater chainsaws.
Exactly.
I had them on, and I just tried to talk about completely other things. It's not good.
But that's what you always do, Mark. Everyone who has you on their show knows that that's what's going to be, or when they're on your show,
You
have to make sure you have that block of time to sit and talk about it and talk about whatever Mark wants to talk about. And that's fine. we're doing a good job of that here too.
If you're the director of a movie, I'll talk about other things.
Exactly. All right.
I think they like that. I think they like it. They're not.
Of course they do.
Stock. I think Pogue likes it because my questions are weird.
He knows that he's got to come in top form to
that's
make
right.
sure that he can pay attention to everything that you do. All right. So you have anything else to say about this minute?
No, this was fun. Thank you very much.
All right. So you want to come back in tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So why don't you tell everyone how they can get in touch with you so they can listen to things about you over the next day before you come back and talk more about The Great Escape.
Yeah, movies, films, and flicks. Movies, films on FLIX and Deep Blue Sea, the podcast. Check it out.
All right. And you can contact us at email, thegreatminute@gmail.com. Our Facebook group is The Cooler. Our website is thegreatescapeminute.com. And on Twitter, we can be reached at greatescapemxm. So until tomorrow, tally-ho.
Tally-ho.